Hi folks, and welcome to part two in this series about GNU PG and the PGP concept. My name is Christer Ekström. This series was mainly originally intended to be just in two parts, but when I tried to make this part earlier, I found that it took so very long time to go through what I'm going to go through today, so I decided that I should split it up into one more part. So it's going to be a three-part series, not a two-part series. But rest assured that we're going to have fun in the last part, because then I'm going to show you what and how exactly to use the program to encrypt, decrypt, and sign texts. What are we going to do this time then, you wonder? And the response to this is, we are going to go through the boring stuff. That's menus and preferences for GNU PG and for the GPG shell. We're also going to go through briefly how to set up your environment variable called path variable. I seem to get a Swedish accent talking English today. Oh my god, I'll have to study English even more. The GPG program is, it consists of two suites, you can say. The first one is the GPG encryption programs themselves, which you can find at www.gnupg.org. That's www.gnupg.org. There's a link to download and so on. There are also links to front ends for the GNU PG. Why would you need a front end, you ask? Well, the GNU PG program itself is a command line interface. It's not a graphical interface, it's a command line interface. Which means if you want to use it from Windows and use it in command line mode, you'll have to go to the prompt, type GPG plus a whole lot of parameters, and hopefully make the program do what you want it to do. If you wanted more Windowsy though, there are solutions to this. There is a solution that I'm using that's called GPG Shell, which is a so-called graphical front-end to the program. It can be found at www.jumaros.de/rsoft/index.html. That's www.jumaros.de/rsoft/index.html. There are also a lot of other programs, but the one you're looking for is called GPG Shell. I won't in detail go into installation of these two programs. It's quite self-explanatory and follows much the Windows standards. You get questions on where you want to place your programs and so on and so forth, and if there should be desktop icons for them and so on. At least in the case of GPG Shell. In the case of GNU PG, it's just a matter of where you want to place the program. What you need to do then is to make sure that your GNU PG is in your path. For those used to tamper with autoexec.bat, you know that there's a line that says path equals and then a whole bunch of paths to different programs with semicolons between them. Pop. Now, in XP, you can also make check out where you have your paths, and I'll briefly go through that now. So I'll put on the speech of my HAL.
Restful.
So you will learn some Swedish while we go. And we are going to go to the start menu. And we're going to go to the control panel.
Administrations Vertig Configurer Administrations Install Ingeford.
It's trying to speak Swedish with English pronunciation rules. That's interesting. Administrationsverktyg, administration tools. We want to go to the system control panel.
System, see information on.
System, see information about system. And we open that one.
System
And now we're on the tab control that says allmänt in Swedish, that's general. We're going to go to a tab called avancerat, advanced.
Data mask avancerat.
There we have it. There we have it. And we're going down this list.
Avancerat. You must var in logads.
And then it tells me that you have to be logged in as administrator to do perform these tasks. And I am, because I'm the only person on this computer. And now we're going to tab past a couple of buttons that says settings or inställningar in Swedish.
Användar profiler group. Scriptbox inställning. Startokatter ställning. Miljövariabler.
Here we have miljövariabler. Miljövariabler. I like that. Environment variables. Very hard to say it this morning. Environment variables. Press this button by hitting spacebar.
Miljövariabler. Användar variable.
And here we have a list called user variables. Those are not interesting in this case.
System variable group.
Here we have the system variables list box. This one is interesting. We are going to arrow down to a list variable that line that says path.
FP no host scene number of P1
Marky
Oz Windows NT
Marky
Path C Windows System
And here we have the path C. We can hear what it says.
Oz Window Path C Windows System 32 C Windows
Marky Run.
And here's a whole bunch of C colon backslash Windows 32 semicolon C and so on and so on. And then you can tab to a button that's called edit. Edit.
Redigera system variable.
And here we can there is a box where you can type in what things you want to have added to the system variable. Or edit out things that you don't want in your system variable. And so on and so forth. And you will want to make sure that GPG is in there. When it is,
okay.
You tab to the OK button and press it.
Abrit.
I'll cancel this one.
Admiljo variable.
And we think there's an OK button here.
Tabot
Yes, there's an OK button. I will cancel this one because we haven't made any changes. And we're out in the system control panel again. And we press OK.
Control panel.
And we are in the control panel.
Record.
So that's how you do the settings for the environment variable path. That's how you make sure that GPG is in your path, and if it isn't, you search for the end of the path string, and then you type semicolon plus not the plus sign, but semicolon and then the search path to your actual GNU PG program. Okay, so that's it. Now we're going to go into the GPG shell thing, and we're going to go through some menus and some interesting preferences. The GPG shell consists of a couple of programs. There is one called GPG config, where you can make some adjustments and configurations. I haven't been into that one so much, so I won't go into too much details on that one. Suffice it to say that you can make some configurations and also see your path information there, but you can't edit it, so you have to do this way, as I showed you. Then you have GPG keys, which is the program that shows you your various keys in your keyring. There you can do things with those keys. You can delete them if so desired, or you can edit them or sign them or so forth. And then we have the GPG tools, which is kind of a graphical interface to common tasks such as encrypting, decrypting, and signing, and so forth. This program is very graphical in nature and not very accessible for my part, at least. And I won't go into that one so much in detail. Then we have the GPG tray, and this is an interesting little thing because not only can you launch the other programs from it, as I'll soon show you, but you can also manipulate text on the clipboard in your current window where you are, and so on and so forth. And you can assign hotkeys, two hotkeys, which can do various things with the contents of a window. So if you don't have a mail client that natively supports GPG, you can use this method to encrypt, decrypt, sign, and so on. Which I think is a plus, because there's not many mail clients that support the GNU PG interface on Windows platforms. There's one called Sylphid, which is a cross-platform program. I don't know much about it. I know that it's available for Windows and Linux, and at least in Linux it wasn't that accessible. But then the graphical interface in Linux hasn't come so far as it has come in Windows. There's also a program which I've used very much that's called the BAT. It has a very good interface to the GNU PG. The only thing you can't do from the BAT is manage keys such as edit them and so on. But then you have the GPG shell to do that. And another client, mail client that can support GPG natively, or at least via a plugin, it's called Pegasus Mail, and it's free. And it's a good program if you want to check that out. Okay, I think I mentioned these programs in the previous podcasts as well. For those who have Outlook Express and other clients, you can use hotkeys, as I said. Now, let's go through the PGP tray menu, which you get when you go to the system tray and click on its icon.
Synthesizer app, Demon Express, Braille Voyager, Nod 32, Windows Messenger Int, double click to launch, Nokia PC Suite, Adobe Photo Down, Intel R Extreme Volume, Inpans button, no text on clipboard.
We have no text on clipboard, that's nice. It changes text if there's a text where you can decrypt. For example, it says decrypt, or you can sign, or you can do things, various things with this program. No text on clipboard, it said, and I will open this menu. And as you heard, it spoke Swedish with me and said that there was no menu choice and 8 objects in the menu, it said, and so on. And here's the first menu choice, which I arrow down to. Help with the submenu.
Help.
And what's in that submenu? About GPG shell. And
shell documentation.
GPG shell documentation. Now this one isn't so much helpful, I'm afraid, because there were very many graphical objects and so on and so forth. So I kind of got stuck last time I tried to do this cast on some preferences which I didn't quite know the meaning of. And when I tried to research what the meaning was, I found out that there were a lot of pictures and not much help. So I'm sorry for that. I'll try to do this cast, even if I'm not quite sure of all the options and what they do. You could always experiment with this one should you want to try the PGP program on GPG.
Launch
from this menu, you can launch from this submenu, you can launch certain programs in the GPG shell suite.
Launch key object menu.
GPG config. Configuration tool. GPG keys.
Dot environment information.
Environment information.
Dot preferences GNU-PG.
Preferences for GNU-PG, and I'll go into that in just a second.
Dot preferences shell.
And you have preference for the GPG shell.
Dot limit key server.
And here you can visit a key server. If you want to search online for a special PGP key. GPG tools, the graphical interface to the very graphical interface to encrypting and signing and so on. The home directory for GNU-PG using Explorer. And here you have the home directory for GPG shell.
Notepad-GNU-PG configuration.
That's kind of self-explanatory. Notepad with a GNU-PG configuration. If you want to do it the hard way. And we're back to
environment information.
Yeah, we're back to where we started. So that's what you can launch from here. If we go out to the main menu again. Next choice is option sets. You can switch between, you can make different kinds of preferences for these different kinds of situation and save them as an option set and switch between them. You can switch between them from here.
Current window.
Current window. This is a pretty interesting little menu. We'll go into that.
Current window.
Five objects. Encrypt. You can encrypt your contents in the current window. That's if you have a document or something, an email an email document loaded. You can manipulate those things here.
Sign dot 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 snub.
You can sign.
Encrypt and sign dot dot dot.
You can encrypt and sign.
Clear sign dot 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 snub.
You can clear sign. That is, you keep the text in its original format, but you sign the message. If you sign a message, then the whole message gets scrambled.
Decrypt slash verify slash import snub.
Decrypt, verify, import. So if the text or the mail contains a key, PGP key, or if it's encrypted or so on, you can import the key or verify the signature or decrypt the letter.
Encrypt.
And we're back.
Current window.
Here is almost the same menu choices, but for file. So if you're on a file, you can do various things.
File sex object. Sign dot dot dot.
You can sign.
Encrypt dot dot.
Encrypt.
Sign dot dot dot. Sign left paren. Detached right paren.
Sign detached, as you can have the signature as a separate file.
Encrypt and sign dot dot dot.
Encrypt and sign.
Clear sign dot dot.
Clear sign.
Decrypt slash verify slash left.
And decrypt and verify and import keys.
File forum. Clipboard encrypt dot dot dot.
And here are the same parameters, but for clipboard. Clipboard encrypt.
Clipboard sign dot dot dot.
Clipboard sign.
Clipboard encrypt and sign dot dot dot.
Clipboard encrypt and sign, and it's not available, none of them.
Clipboard clear sign dot dot dot.
Clipboard clear sign.
Clipboard decrypt slash verify.
Clipboard decrypt verify, and this one's not available either because there's nothing on the clipboard.
Key left paren, S right paren.
Keys. And in this submenu you can do some nice things too.
Key S object menu. Export to clipboard dot dot.
You can export to clipboard.
Import from clipboard.
Or you can import from clipboard. So if there's a key on the clipboard, you can import it. Or if you want to export your own key to the clipboard, you can do so. And then paste it into a document or something like that if you want to attach or paste in your public key.
Key left.
In a document. You can do that.
View slash edit clipboard dot dot dot.
View edit clipboard. You want to see what's on the clipboard. That's kind of self-explanatory.
Clear clipboard.
Clear clipboard should be rather self-explanatory too.
Clear passphrase.
Clear passphrase. If you have stored a passphrase, you can clear it out so that no one can see or use your key without having to type in the passphrase. That could be a good thing to do. And exit. You can stop it all. And we're back. So, let's go into the preferences.
Launch forum domain. Launch key object. Dot 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 dash environment in dot 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 dash preferences. GNUPG snub key fits felt.
We start with
preferences. GNUPG. Transfer. Fleet felt. General. Marker and fleet snub and lens. GVC domain key. Leader of key.
And we're starting with the GPG keys preferences. Or the GNU. No, the GNUPG preferences. And we're in a dialogue with three tabs. And we're on the tab that's called General.
General Fleet. Comment.
Here you can write a comment that will be visible in your signature. It's going to say something like begin PGP signature version GNU PG 1 point whatever comment. And here you can write what's in the comment. You can say visit my URL at www.wherever to get my key or something like that. This you can make two lines of comment from here. Here is where this is a combo box where you specify character set to display. It's on default now, but you can have
ISO minus 8859 minus 1.
ISO 8859-1.
ISO minus 8859 minus 2. ISO minus 8859 minus 15.
And so on and so on.
Less than default.
I think we leave it on default.
I 0x3839497 8313390.
This is default key to use for signing and so on. And the number you heard there was the identity, the ID of the key.
Use default key as recipient when no other recipients are selected.
Yes, that's kind of obvious. You can check and uncheck this box to decrypt and or encrypt to yourself if no other recipients are selected.
Default key for signatures. Default recipient self. Encrypt to 0x3839497.
And here's the ID again. And this is for... I think it's for encrypting to me as well as others. So if I've selected someone and I want to have a copy of the encrypted message and read it, I can do this with... I can decide what key to encrypt to.
When other recipients are selected, keys over HKP, black hole, WFN, screen fence.
And here is a list of key servers from which you can use the one to use to upload and download and so on and so forth.
Change list entries.
And here you can manipulate those list entries. I don't feel like I want to do that, so I go on.
Sync keys over L.
This is the one that I'm not quite sure of. Sync key server URL. It looks like that you can have a key server where you have your signing key. Why you would want to have your secret key online, I'm not quite sure, but then I can be wrong. You can specify it here anyway.
Keyring.
Here it's if you have an additional keyring that you want to have besides your default keyring. You can add it here. And here is a button with three dots on it. That's where you search for your additional keyring.
Secret keyring.
And here's the same, but for the additional secret keyring. And a search button for that.
Do not add the default keyrings to the list of keyrings.
Do not add the default keyring to the list of keyrings. But we want to have it.
No default keyring.
So we go on. Trust DB name. This box contains, if you have another database than the default one for measuring trust and so on, you can decide how much trust you will put into a key. And that goes into a database. And if you have another program than the default, or another database file than the default one, then this is the field to use to type the path to it. want to use it, and here's a search button for that too.
Photo view update program.
If you have photos on your keyring, this is where you decide where the program is that you want to use to view those photos.
Less than.
And a search path for that one.
Option set group. Save.
Save as. You can save this as a new option set.
Please read the GNUPG manual for more information. Option sets.
List view.
And here's a list view with the different option sets you have.
Okay.
And an OK
cancel
button.
Cancel. General.
And a cancel. And we're back on the general tab. Now we're going to the GPG related tab of this dialog.
PGP related.
Or PGP related.
PGP related.
Here you decide what version of PGP that GNUPG should be compatible with. And you can use many. Sorry for that. That's my phone. You can decide what PGP version that GNUPG should be compatible with. For example, GPG 6, 7, 8, or really early versions if you want to. And if you don't, then you have some options that you can set for what cipher algorithm to use, what digest algorithm, and so on. But right now, I have decided to make this compatible with
OpenPGP.
So that's what I'm doing now.
Compatibility options, load extension.
Load extension. If you have some algorithms that's not built into the program, this is the edit box where you load that one. And here's a path to the DLL that takes care of those algorithms, for example, IDEA or something like that.
Default preference list.
Default preference list. And I'm not quite certain what this is, but I guess you can put in some options there relating to default algorithms for compression and so on, and I'm not quite certain. So that's something to experiment with if you want to.
Personal cipher preferences in 192
screen fields.
Personal cipher preferences. That's how you want your messages to be encrypted, what algorithm to use when encrypting. I have used AES 192, which is advanced encryption standard.
Personal digest preferences.
Personal digest preferences. And that is how is my signature made. What algorithms to use when making the signature for signing documents, keys, and so on. I've used SHA-1 in this case. There are lots of different algorithms. I suggest that if you want to know more about those kinds of things, you should try subscribing to a list called PGP Basics, which is a very good list, by the way. And I think they reside on the Yahoo group, so that would be pgp-basics-subscribe@yahoogroups.com if you want to subscribe to that one.
Personal compress preferences, zip to
screen fence.
And personal compression preferences, and it's bzip2. It's a Linux format for compressing documents and files and so on. I guess you can compress the encrypted data so that it takes less time to transport over the internet. That's my guess.
Option set.
Group.
Save as.
And we're back at the save as.
Please read the PG manual for more. Okay.
Connection option.
Cancel.
Connection option. Then. Fleet fence.
PGP related.
That's PGP related. Now we're into more options.
More options.
Marker and fleet.
That's the last. That's the last tab in this dialog.
More options.
Fleet.
Ask search level. Prompt for the check level when signing a key.
Marker and cursor. Connection option.
Ask certify level, prompt for certification level when you sign a key. This certification level, it has to be explained. But it's not so easy to explain this one because certification level is very much up to you. I mean... I can say that a marginally or casually checked key could be that I've gotten the key directly from a person who says that he has that key, that it's his key, and I've checked that the mails that come from him has a good signature. And if it doesn't have a good signature, or if you can't verify, then you can be, well, not sure, but almost at least that the key that you have got is either tampered with or the wrong key. Now, I hope this makes sense. I will try to explain this one when I get to the next parameter. Oh gosh, and I've only drunk coffee this morning. Well, this checkbox prompt for certification level when signing is when you check it, it asks what certification level have you checked this key thoroughly or something like that, or have you checked it at all, or so on and so forth. And it asks for to know this every time you sign something when signing a key. Okay, when you sign a key, not a document. And that makes sense, because when you sign a key, then you trust the person that gives you the key. Otherwise, you wouldn't sign it. So this makes sense.
Default cert level 0, no answer.
Default certification level is 0, no answer. And you can leave it at that, because if you have that other control checked, you can decide on a per key basis how much you have checked the key. And now I will try to explain this again. One
not checked.
Not checked. That is, you've got the key, and you assume that, okay, I've got the key, so it must be from the person who says that it belongs to him or her.
Too casually checked.
Too casually checked, and this one is a matter of preference. But I would suggest that you have got it would be something like, you have got the key. You have checked by trying to decrypt or verify a signature of a mail that comes from the person whom you've got the key from. And if you want to be on an even safer side, you can say that you can Skype or call that person and read the fingerprint, not the ID, but the fingerprint on the key that you got from this person and see if it matches the fingerprints on that person's key. If it does, then you can be quite sure that it comes from the person who says that it comes from him, her. And then you can also sign that key with your own key. And if you don't want to export that signature, if you don't want that signature to go along with the person's public key, then you can at least sign it locally, thereby avoiding some warning messages and some restrictions that applies if you don't sign the key. There is also a third level of how much you have checked this key, and it's called carefully checked. And what that might mean is, for example, that you have met a person, you've got his or her key, and you have verified the mail from them, and check that you can verify their signature, and you have also Skyped or called them on the phone or so on, and check that everything is okay, matched key fingerprints, and so on and so forth. And besides that, you've met person to person and sort of really verified that this is the one that the key belongs to by checking against photos or passports or ID cards or something. A very, very careful checking. So that's quite about those controls.
One not checked.
I see
zero,
no answer on this default key setting thingy. But I think I should
prompt for the check.
Check the check level. That it should prompt for that. Because
default search level. Key at format 0x sharp 0x plus 8 chart.
Okay, here you decide how long the key identity should be. And I have put it to 0x short, which means 8 characters plus a 0x. So the key ID looks like 0x123456. If you would have it the long way, it's 0x plus 16 characters. That's very long, I think.
Format of displayed key, max output.
Maximum output. Max number of generated bytes when processing a file. And this is one of those controls that you have to experiment with to see what's actually happening, because I'm not quite sure about this preference. I can say it right out, so that I'm not quite sure what this. I've left it blank.
Suppress the initial copyright message.
Suppress the initial copyright message. That should be kind of self-explanatory.
Suppress the message was not integrity protected. Warning.
Sometimes there pops up a message when you try to sign or encrypt a message that says message was not integrity protected, and it seems that you can't do much about this. So I've chosen to check this box that says suppress the message was not protected warning.
No MPC warning. Enter all other options here, lines starting with the comments.
And here is another big check multi-line edit box where you can enter additional options if you so wish. And for those options, I recommend you read the GNU-PG manual, which is a very good one. Although for Windows users, there's a little catch, because for some reason, they have kept the Unix format of the file name, even in the Windows distribution. So it's the file is named GNU-PG-MAN and nothing more. Which, of course, makes Windows confused because it doesn't know what program to associate. So you have to associate this file with a program. For example, Notepad or something like that. So, and that's simple. You can just rename it by pressing F2 when you're on the GNU-PG-MAN file. And rename it to something like gnupgman.txt or something like that to associate it with the Notepad, for example.
Option set. Group. Save.
And we're back in the save. Please as read the dialog.
Okay.
Option.
And we press OK and leave this preferences.
Please finish
the dialog. And here we got a message. Which I'll have to check.
Are you sure that you want to do this? See, document. This will overwrite an existing version of. See, documents and settings, Krista Extreme application data, not GPG conf.
Okay. This will overwrite an existing version of the GNU PG conf. Am I sure I want to do this? So.
This will overwrite an.
No, I'm not really. So I press no or nay, as it's in Sweden.
These preferences GNU PG. Please read the GNU PG cancel.
When we cancel this one.
Record cast 2 of.
And we're out on. No, we're not. We're not actually out on the desktop, but we're in the recording dialog of SoundForge, which I'm using for this podcast. Okay, let's now go to the GPG preferences section, or rather the section that's concerning GPG shell, the front end.
No text on clipboard.
GPG tray menu.
Current window. Launch. New object.
Preferences.
Preferences.
These preferences.
General.
And here is a multi-tabbed dialog again with 6 tabs. So there's a lot to go through. So this is going to be a longish podcast. That's why I've sort of split it up.
General.
Okay, we start with a general tab, and the first checkbox which we come to, and it is unchecked is always remove key data files. pubkeys.dat and seckeys.dat, and I don't know, my interpretation of this one is that it could be good to have this one checked for security reasons if you don't want to have a lot of key information hanging about whilst using your computer. I haven't got this one checked.
Always renew key data files when switching option sets.
If you have more than one option sets, you can have it to always renew key data file data. Key file data when you switch option sets. I don't have more than one option set, so I keep this one unchecked.
Don't close DOS windows and pause command.
Don't close DOS window, DOS windows, and pause command. There was a bug sometime back where if you click the edit command, you never got the DOS environment so that you actually could edit your key, because the DOS window sort of shut on you, and that's why this box came here so that you don't shut the box, but instead add a pause command so that you can do what you're supposed to do and exit yourself, if so. And also you couldn't see the GPG messages that popped up in those DOS prompts either.
I remove PGP headers filters after verifying clear signed text.
Remove PGP headers / footers after clear signing text. You get to remove this begin GPG signed message and so on from a verified unsigned text, and that could be useful. I don't have this one checked, but I think I should check this one just as an experiment to see what's happening.
Shell open decrypted 7Z, ace, arch, cab, j, lzh, rup.
This checkbox lets you open compressed files such as gz, cab, zip, rar, what have you, after decrypting them. Could be kind of useful.
Show only valid keys when encrypting signing no DPIR keys.
Show only valid keys when encrypting and signing. And this excludes revoked keys and so on, so that you not by mistake could use them for trying to encrypt or decrypt keys or files, because that won't work. You can't use them. And I have this one checked, actually.
Exclude also untrusted keys.
You can also exclude untrusted keys, but I think that's kind of harsh, so I don't have that on. So I don't have that checked.
I show output of decrypt, verify input in GUI.
Show output of decrypt, verify import in graphical user interface. I think that this box came around because the GNU PG program pops up its info in a DOS box, and if you want to show it in the graphical interface, you can do so instead of in a DOS box. That's how I interpret it, and this box is checked.
Play default beep when window opens.
That's kind of self-explanatory, I think.
Remove GPG prefix from output messages.
At each line of an output message from GNU PG, there's a GPG colon prefix. If you want to, you can skip that. So instead of GPG colon good signature from this or that, it says only good signature from this or that. That could be useful if you don't want that. I have it unchecked, because for me, it doesn't really matter. But it's a matter of preference.
Skip default key selection when signing.
Skip default key selection when signing. That could be useful if you know that you just have one key to choose from when signing. You can skip. Otherwise, it asks what key you want to use to sign from or with. What key you want to use to sign the document with.
Signing.
This one is interesting because it doesn't HAL doesn't read the prompt for this group. It says store passphrase 4: signing. It's a checkbox that is unchecked and
decrypting.
And that's kind of self-explanatory. Store. You could choose to store your passphrase so that you don't have to type it in every time you sign or decrypt a message. This could be a bit risky if there are more than one person using the computer. So I recommend have this one unchecked. There are parameters in other programs where you can put a value, say 5 minutes for storing phrases and so on.
I use PGP instead of GPG extension for encrypted signed files.
Normally, files that has been encrypted signed by GNUPG has the .gpg extensions. So instead of textfile.txt, it says textfile.gpg. But if you want to be extremely compatible with PGP, you can have it say PGP instead of GPG. Now, I don't have this one checked because I don't think it matters so much.
Watch pub ring set ring trust changes for key reload.
Watch pub ring slash sec ring trust DB changes for key reloads. This is an option that I'm not quite sure of, and I didn't get any help in the manual. So if anyone can chime in with some help for what this option may mean, I'd be very grateful. This is a control you can play about with, see what happens. But I guess that if you reload a key, it should go out and check the trust database for changes.
I command interpreter.
And this one is to check what command interpreter to use. That's kind of self-explanatory, really. It's command. No, it's cmd.xc to have. That I have on my Windows. If you have other command interpreters, you can use them. And here is the button to browse for the command interpreter executable file.
Restart tools tray to activate your changes there. Defaults.
Defaults. Reset to defaults.
Okay, cancel. General.
And then there was an okay and a cancel and so on. Now we go over to the preference for the program called GPG keys.
Keys. Add public key to exported secret keys PGP style.
Add public key. You can export your key pair. Not only can you export your secret key or your public key separate, but you can export a secret key and a public key together. I don't know why you would want to do it. In fact, I don't know why you would want to export your secret key at all, because it's not supposed to be spread around. But anyway, the option is there, and it's unchecked, and I recommend that you have it unchecked. You could always play about with the option if you want to see what the output of this option would be. If you checked the box.
Auto reload keys.
Auto reload keys. If you change keys or edit them or something like that, if you change passphrase or something like that, it can automatically reload it into the PGP keys program. That's good. And it also loads them at startup.
Bold font for displaying the default key.
And that's kind of self-explanatory. You could have your default primary key displayed in a bold font.
Flat toolbar.
And that's also kind of self-explanatory. It has to do with how the appearance of the toolbars is to be in the program. Flat toolbar or not.
Graphical display of trust values.
Graphical display of trust values. This is a control that I haven't checked. If you have, it will display trust values graphically rather than in letters or numbers. I prefer the latter.
Hide card menu.
You could store your PGP keys on smart cards if you want to. But if you don't have a card reader, which I don't have, you can actually hide the entire card menu in GPG keys. which I will do. I check this box. It was unchecked from the beginning. So now this menu is hidden.
Defaults. Okay.
And these are the preference for the PGP or GPG keys.
Cancel. Keys.
And now we come to GPG tools. And since I don't use it, tools. I think I'll skip this tab.
Try.
Now, here we come to the real fun part of these preferences. Cast. We come to GPG tray, and this is the program that we mainly work with today. And here on this tab you can assign the hotkeys that you want to use, and now I'm going to show you how this is done.
Tray hotkey 1 plus
there's always control involved. But you can add another modifier, or you can just use the control key to act as a modifier to the letters. But I have decided that I want to have shift assigned. And so I try to make this computer realize that it should drop down a menu for me to choose what modifier I want to have. But it doesn't. Instead, it displays the keys that I can use as the hotkey. And we can have D for decrypt, for example.
B, C, D.
That should do the trick. D.
CTRL plus what list reason.
And now you get the now you get the control key that you can use or change. Now it's control plus alt. But I want to use shift, so
shift.
I highlight that one. So now it's control plus shift plus D as my first hotkey.
Plus D list reason up and then equals clear sign list
equals clear sign. And that's kind of a good choice. Because I'm not quite sure, but I think that the first hotkey, the so-called hotkey 1, actually is a context-sensitive one. So if you have things that should be that are encrypted, you can use it to decrypt. Or you can use it to clear sign, as I said here, as I set it to do here. Or you can use it to verify keys and import them and so on. And that is depending on what kind of text there is on the clipboard or in the window. So this is what this hotkey does. It's kind of context sensitive.
Plus list reason up and then up.
Here we have hotkey 2.
And
we set it to E for encrypt.
CTRL plus what list reason up.
And we change alt to shift.
Shift.
And
plus A list
reason. We shift tabbed to a combo box to change this one. It's a bit tricky to set this process because you have to first set the letter which you want to use. Then you have to, instead of tab forward, you have to shift tab back to set the modifier that you want to use. So you could have control alt as a default, and then you have just to use the arrow keys at the first control you land on to assign the letter. But if you want to use the shift key, you have to shift tab back and change the modifier. I don't know if this made sense, but I hope it did. So now I've put control plus shift plus E as my second hotkey.
Equals encrypt and sign list.
And as it so happens, it's on encrypt and sign already, and that's what I want it to do. So, well. And this strictly does what I tell it to do. So this isn't context sensitive, this key. But this just makes... This just takes the action that I want it to take.
CTRL plus A.
And here is here are commands you can send to the clipboard in order to select and copy the contents to be processed by those hotkeys. So it sends Control A.
CTRL plus C.
Then it sends Control plus C.
CTRL plus V.
And then it sends Control plus V. And for some strange reason, you can opt to not have it send these keys. That is, if you want to select the text and so forth yourself. And maybe cut instead of copy. But I have it to set to default because that works very well for me.
Send with hotkeys. Delay in milliseconds before sending CTRL plus ACV. 200.
And here is the length of time in milliseconds that the program waits after pressing the hotkey before it sends the select all, copy and paste thingy. And it's set to 250 milliseconds. And that could be... That's a good value, I think. Would suit most machines nowadays.
Word wrap clear signs text not within files at column 64.
Screen fence number.
Okay, word wrap clear signed text not within files at column 64. And that's a good place to put a word wrap. This makes it compatible with most email clients.
Ignore quoted text greater than when word wrapping.
Ignore quoted text greater than dot 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 when word wrapping. That should be kind of self-explanatory.
Replace tabs when word wrapping with for.
You can replace tabs when word wrapping with four spaces.
Spaces, overwrite temporary files at program exit.
Overwrite temporary program files. That should be kind of self-explanatory.
Three.
I can't see any prompt here. It should be... There should be a prompt here.
Three. Reply prefix. Three.
Reply prefix, okay. Maybe it's how many greater than it should tolerate or something like that. I don't know.
Six.
You can have it to even to six.
Reply prefix on screen fence
number. And here is an edit box where you can tell GPG shell what it should consider as a typical start of quotes on
long date
or
long date,
medium date,
short date
or short date,
medium date, long date.
We can have it on long date, and I guess it's both date and time, and it's not it's Friday, and so on and so forth. On long date...
Times, you wrote.
You wrote. That's a typical start of a quoted sentence in emails. Show clipboard menu item in main menu. Should be kind of self-explanatory. Oh yeah, it's that that menu item that I showed before, the one where you can manipulate files on the clipboard. You can have this show in main menu, or you could rely entirely on short keys. I have mine checked, and that could be a good idea.
Bold font for displaying the default menu item.
Bold font for displaying the default menu item should be kind of self-explanatory.
Use external viewer for displaying decrypted text.
Here you can decide that you want to use an external viewer to show decrypted text. I have this one unchecked.
Restart tray to activate your changes.
And we're back at the defaults button, and
okay,
then the OK button, and
cancel.
The cancel button. So that's the GPG tray tab. Next
interface
is the interface tab.
Interface. PG window. Group. Hyphen. Reloading keys.
Here is some options that you can decide what when the GNU PG window, the DOS prompt window, should be hidden. For example, when reloading keys.
Exporting.
When exporting.
Importing owner trust.
When importing. Importing owner trust.
Exporting.
Exporting.
Importing keys.
Importing keys.
Getting signatures.
Getting signatures.
Getting PGP packet.
Every box in this group is checked.
Getting photo subkey fingerprints. Getting file sums MD5 SHA-1.
So you see, you can have PGP, the PGP, the GNU PG window hidden in most situations. When it does automatic tasks such as reloading keys or things that you really can't affect or do things with, that does things automatically.
Possible assumes yes on most questions.
This checkbox makes the GPG shell assume a yes answer on most questions. I don't know why you would have this one checked. I don't want to have it because I want to have it as interactive as possible. But I could figure out that if you want things to go faster, you will check this one box.
Full row selection in key lists.
Full row selection in key lists should be kind of self-explanatory, I guess.
Grid lines in key lists.
Grid lines in key lists. This hasn't any meaning for us blind folks. It's more a look and feel thing.
Menu icons. Tray shell extension.
Menu icons, GPG tray shell extension. It can show some icons on the menus. I will simply uncheck this one because I can't see the icons, and so I don't really have any use for it.
Shell language. Current. Less than default. Greater than. Change.
And here you can decide in what language the GPG shell should speak for you, to you. I wonder what languages we have.
Less than default, greater than. Chinese ZHCN.
Oh, Chinese.
Chinese ZHT, check.
Check.
Dutch.
Dutch.
I less than default, greater than current. Change to English.
English.
Current. Less than default, greater than. Change to French.
And so on. So there are...
Less than default, greater than.
There are loads of... I think even Swedish is here. If you want this thing to work properly, you have to have the specific language files. Sorry for the noise. It's my mic stand that isn't quite up to what I want to have it. It's much microphony in it.
Service.org shell apt to activate your change.
And here we have a, we're back on the defaults button.
Okay, cancel. Interface.
And the next tab we come to
Explorer.
Is the Explorer tab, and it's the last tab in this dialogue. And what do we have here?
Explorer fleet shell extension. I remove shell context menu entry. Add.
Flat context menu entries. And this one is unchecked because I don't want to have them flat.
Default directory for open save as operations. Default.
And here you can decide a temporary directory for open and saving options and so on. Or a default directory.
Restart tools. Try to activate.
And that's quite it, really.
Okay.
So there are a lot of preferences, a lot of things you can experiment with if you want to. And as I say, at least for the GNU PG preferences, you can, you should read the GPG manual. Although it's kind of techy, it explains things quite well, I think.
Record.
So that wraps it up. This very longish podcast. I'm sorry for this, but it has been a very longish podcast. What I'm going to do next in the next podcast about GPG is I will introduce you to a program called GPG Keys, which I've mentioned briefly here, but we're going to take a closer look at it next time and see what you can do with it. And I will also go through the process of generating keys to use and encrypting, signing, and decrypting keys. That's all coming up in the next part of this PGP GPG podcast series. This is Christer Ekström in Sweden, signing off and saying thank you for your interest and for your time. Goodbye.